Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. We started this study in the book of Malachi, and we started off with what? That what we really need is who? We need God, but we need His love. And what we really need to be at our best for God is God's love. So tonight we're going to see another familiar passage. We're going to look at just verses 6 through 14 of chapter 1. And we're going to talk about the great king. That's in the last verse. That's in verse 14. And that the great king deserves our very best. You know, when, if you ever had the privilege or you ever got the privilege in the future of having some famous person come by and visit in your house, what would you do? You would do everything that you could possibly do to prepare to make sure that your house was perfect. You would also do everything that you have your kids in line. There'd be no distractions. Everything would be absolutely top notch. Because that dignitary that would come to your house deserves your best. My question is this: why would we spruce up our house for some dignitary man's way when we serve a king that deserves all of our attention and all of our devotion and all of our worship and all of our praise? And that's what we're talking about here. See, God expects and deserves our best offering. Now, in order to understand Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, we need to understand God's standard. This is going to talk about offerings that were given in the temple that was offered by the priest. Oh, by the way, we're priests too, right? What Brother Lou said this morning, we're priests. We'll reign with him one day. Okay? And we're also prophets. We need to talk about the truth and tell that to a lost and dying world. So let's look at God's standard for offerings as far as sacrifices were concerned. You could find that in Leviticus chapter 22, verses 17 through 25. And I'll read them very quick because then it brings Malachi 1 into proper perspective. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel." Okay, Aaron was a what? Priest. His sons were the priesthood, okay? They were supposed to be a holy nation, okay? "And say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel that will offer his oblation for all his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they shall offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering." So this encompasses just not trespass offerings, but it encompasses all offerings. Kind of like what God wants us. He wants all of us, not just the parts that we want to give up. And he says, verse 19, he says, "Ye shall offer." Now, I'm in the military. When we had technical manual, shall means you're going to do it. It was a mandatory requirement. It says, "Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, and of the goats." It didn't matter if it was a cattle offering or a goat offering or sheep offering. They need to be males without what? Blemish. Nothing wrong with them. "But whatsoever that hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer. For it, now it shall not be acceptable for you." You know, God looks at us and he basically assesses how much we give back to him. How much we really love him. You know, there's a lot of us that don't love at all in our actions.
Come on.
Or in our worship. Or in our praise. See, God looks. You know, we're going to have to give account of all this. In verse 21, it says, "And whosoever offered the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or free will offering in the beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted." There is a standard, folks, and it's God's standard, and we need to go up to it. OK, Okay, we need to live by it. There shall be no blemish therein, blind or broken or maimed or having a wing or scurvy or scabbed. Ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Let's put it in Texas saying, don't give God roadkill. He deserves more than roadkill. Verse 25, neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these. Because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. Now, fast forward a couple of thousand years. Fast forward to the time of Nehemiah and Malachi. And it's about ready to go silent for 400 years. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, which is our text. A son on earth, his father, and a servant, his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, who? O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Who, me? Who, me? Ye offer bread, polluted bread upon my altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You know, we need to get a fresh look at the characteristics of God. He's eternal. He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. And he's omnipotent. He deserves the best. We lose sight of this and we start kind of cutting corners. Folks, you can't cut corners in your relationship with God. Verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. You know, when God talks to us, we need to listen to him. When God talks to us, we need to respond to him. Right. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even from the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Notice he's changed. Not talking about Israel more. He's talking about the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and in a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted. You know, it may not be that they actually said that, but see, our actions speak louder than words. Yeah. You know, we can say the right thing, but do the wrong thing, and the message is clear that we're wrong. Verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and we have been snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and valeth, and sacrifice it unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a what? Great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So several things that we see tonight about these priests. And this could also apply to us. And we could actually be guilty of the very same things. The first thing is that in verse 6 here, we see that the priest despised the name of God. How did they despise the name of God? Well, God had made them a covenant. And it says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? God is looking for his priest to do the right thing. God is looking for his people to do the right thing. See, they forsook the covenant relationship that God had established with them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6, it says, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise?" He says, "This is what you give back to me." He says, "Is not he thy father that brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?" See, we're only here because of God. And we need to understand that. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, God goes on and says this. He says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." See, God the Father adopted Israel as his children. In the New Testament, we are what? Joint heirs with Christ. We are also adopted too. So this is Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Amen. Abba, Father." Ephesians chapter 1, it says the same thing, that we have been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God has adopted each believer as his children. And you know, what we do in our families, what our kids do is a reflection upon us. And what we do or we don't do is a reflection on us spiritually too. And on our Heavenly Father. In our actions, we say that we're Christians. We say that we're believers. But do our actions back that up? See, if our actions don't back it up, we have forsaken the covenant relationship. The one that was bought by the blood of Christ on the cross. The second thing is if you say, "Well, I don't have a relationship anymore," you can shirk your responsibilities. And what happened here? He says, "O priest that despised my name," and you say, "Wherein have we despised thy name?" What? See, there's a lot of people not doing what God wants them to do, and they're oblivious to it. Mm-hmm. See, the priest going on and say, "Hey, we've been doing this for years. God doesn't care. God loves us." No, God cares.
Come on.
He's a holy God, and he wants his people to be holy also. See, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to our Savior. And to the God that loved us. Remember what Christ said to his disciples in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and also to the crowd. He says, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?"
Right.
I went and showed you Leviticus 22. This was the standard for offerings. This was the standard for priestly actions. And they forsook the covenant. And they basically said, "You're not acting like my kids. Well, you say you're my kids, but you're not acting like them. You're not doing what I ask you to do." And so not only have you broken my covenant, you've also broken the responsibility that I am your master. And his name is not Darth Vader. Okay? And it says, "God is our master and we are his bondservant." And we need to understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 says what? For ye are bought with a price.
Right.
Therefore what? Therefore, why? Because we've been bought with a price, we need to do something about it.
Come on.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Done. Isn't that the same thing that Malachi is writing to the priest right here? He says, you call me a father, but you don't do those things. You say that you in your actions you're despising my name. In Psalm chapter 100 verse 2, the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. See, the priest despised the name of God by breaking his covenant relationship. This priest despised the name of God by breaking the responsibility. And then by forsaking our reason. See, we forgot what God has done for us. And see, if you forsake, then you'll forget. You'll forget. In John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, it says, but as many as what? As received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That means God's our Father. Okay? Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of God, of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, our reason we are here today is because of God. It's by His grace. He says, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. If it wasn't for His mercies, we'd all be consumed. See, we have an obligation due to His grace to do three things. As we learned in last week, we need to love Him. We need to love Him. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You're supposed to honor Him. The priest had missed the boat. He says here, he says, where's my honor? Where's my honor? Does our life bring honor to God? You know, this morning, Brother Lou was talking about what? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, we have an obligation due to His grace to love Him. Here in His love, not that we first loved Him, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Herein is our obligation for His grace, that we honor Him with praise, because He alone is worthy of praise. And then the last thing, as we saw here in Luke chapter 6, we need to obey Him. We need to obey Him. And so the priest despised the name of God by forsaking the covenant relationship. The priest despised the name of God by forsaking the responsibilities that was in their position. The priest despised the name of God by just forgetting the reason why they were in their first place. See, and I have missed something. Okay, so write this down. Okay? Wow. How did that happen? Okay. There we go. Number two. Okay. The priest defiled the provisions of God in verses 7 through 11. Okay. Here's a key. Verse 7 says, ye offer what? Polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, we didn't do anything wrong. Okay. That you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Well, it's in your actions, not your words. So the issue is what we do shows our spiritual condition. That is the reality there. Their offering was a picture of their spiritual condition. Your praise is a picture of your spiritual condition. Your church attendance is a picture of your spiritual condition. How we do things is a picture of our spiritual condition. G. Campbell Morgan, he was contemporary to Tipsy now my name's going right. He was an evangelist in the 1800s in Britain. Okay? And it says here, he says, no polluted man can offer pure blood on God's No polluted man can offer pure bread on God's altar.
That's right.
Remember Zechariah? Zechariah said, there was a question there. It says, hey, if you touch unclean things, are you not unclean? If you're clean and you touch something else, is it clean? And he gave this whole thing. Folks, what we need to do is we need to understand that we can't live a polluted life and then offer a sacrifice worthy of God. It doesn't work. Because if we live a polluted life, we'll leave a polluted offering. See, the priests were not giving God. They were giving God their worst. And they were keeping the best for themselves. Haggai went down that road. Zechariah talked about the same thing. They were keeping all the building materials for themselves. And they weren't even building the temple when they needed to do it. So their offering was a picture of their spiritual condition. Secondly, God brings an accusation in verse 8 against the people. The issue is here, what does he say? He says, hey, if you take what you're giving me and you give it to one of your friends or you give it to the governor, what will he think about it? And the answer is, well, he wouldn't like it. So why do we do more for man than we do for God? So the point here is they were offering God less than what man required. And the second thing is they revered man more than God. So the priests defiled the provisions of God because it was a picture of their spiritual condition. They weren't living the way they should. They weren't offering the way they should. And then God brings an accusation against them. God gives them a recommendation. God says, hey, I'll give you a solution here. He calls them to put off the hypocrisy. And folks, if you are trying to cover up something, get rid of that tonight.
Right.
Christ constantly talked to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He constantly talked to the priesthood. And he said, look, you guys are not doing the right thing. You're doing what you want to do, and you're leaving out the big stuff. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, it says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over what? Judgment. And the love of God. See, they would have done the right thing if they just used God's word to judge what they were doing. They would have done the right thing if they were just loving God the way they were supposed to and giving Him their best. It would have all been fine. See, what we need to do is just live God's word and love God. Live God's word and love God. He says, these things ought ye have done and not left the other undone. You know what he really calls them to do in verse 9? He says this. He says, or in verse 10, he says he calls them to close the temple doors. He says, if you're not going to do this right, just close the temple down. Folks, if we're not going to have revival here, let's close the church down. We need to do the right thing. We need to start living holy lives. We need to start giving sacrifice for praise. We need to give everything that we should for God. And if we're not going to do it, why are we here? God gave His all to die on the cross. And we're not willing to put forth effort for Him. He said, who is there even among you that would just shut the doors for naught? If you're not doing anything, you might as well close the doors. Folks, it's time for God's house and God's people to do something. We need revival. We need revival. So God gives a recommendation. He calls them to lock the temple doors. So here's four things to look at tonight. God gives them a picture of sacrificial worship. Also in verse 10. You know what we're supposed to offer? And folks, you take this. These are our action points tonight. The first thing is we are to bring our bodies to God. We're already bought with a price. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That who presents them? We do. We present them to who? God. You know, if you're working for God and you're living for God, everything else is going to be just fine. Holy, acceptable to God. That means without sin, without being polluted. You know what? That means acceptable. God means God's standard, not ours. You know, we're living in a life of being good enough. That's just good enough. No, God deserves our best. What gets in the way of being your best? Good enough. Good enough does. Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to bring our bodies to God as living sacrifices. But there's oh so many of us out there today that are dead. Dead in sin. Dead to God and alive to sin. Secondly, we are supposed to bring our offerings. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, we studied this before, and he says, and I have all and abound. I am full, having what? Received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice what? Acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This morning in our youth class, we talked about the trials of our faith. And the issue is that everything that we do is a test. A test to do things for God or not to do things for God. It's black and white. It's either you're for Him or you're against Him. It's either your best or it's not your best. And so it says here that what they did to help Paul in Philippi was something that was acceptable to God. Why do we do the things that we do? We should do them only for one reason, God. We should do them only for one reason. Everything we do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. And so, what sacrificial worship looks like, we bring our bodies to God. What does sacrificial worship look like? We're to bring our offerings to God. What is sacrificial worship look like? We bring our praise to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before in His presence with singing. Okay? By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, and everybody say the next word continually. See, God wants all of us all the time. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to rejoice ever more. This one says that we're supposed to praise God how? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. See, that's what shows that we're really worshiping God. And then whatever we do for others should bring glory to God too. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says this, But to do what? Good. If it's good, it has to be for who? God. It's not who you think good is. It's not what you think good is. It's what God says is good. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your what? Good works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. See, but to do good and to communicate what? Forget not. What did the priest do? They forsook the covenant relationship they had. And when they forsook that, they started forgetting about God. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. He's well pleased. See, in verse 11, God will get the best that He deserves. He says, if you're not going to do it eventually, and this is future tense, He says, for from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name shall be what? Great among the Gentiles. It might not be great above you, but it'll be great above somebody else. So why don't you make a choice? Let God's name be great with us tonight. And it says, and in every place incense shall be offered unto what? My name. And a what? Pure offering. For my name shall be what? Great among the heathen. He says, you're acting like one. You need to get on the right side. Saith the Lord of hosts. See, God will get the best that He deserves. Psalm 29 verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And if that's not good enough for you, Psalm 96 verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. That's what God wants us to do. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring a what? Bring an offering and come into His courts. So we see the priests that despise the name of God. We see that the priests despise the provision. Basically, they defile the provision of God. God gave them everything they needed. They just didn't want to use it. God gives us spiritual gifts. We don't use it. God gives us resources and talents. We don't use them. What does that say about our spiritual condition? See, lastly, in verses 12 through 14, you see that the priest denigrated God's prominence and preciousness. They promoted an attitude of weariness. I know some of you come to church tired. That's okay to come physically tired. But don't come to church being spiritually tired. Don't come to church out of a ritual. Don't come to church out of a sense of routine. Don't come to church because I have to. What do we see here? It says, verse 13, He said also, behold, what a weariness is it. They had a weariness in giving. They had a weariness in service. It says, and ye have what? Snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And then they had a weariness in worship. Revival takes us out of a rut. Revival takes us out of the routine. Revival rejuvenates us and renews us You know, David said, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. See, they misrepresented the Lord in their sacrifices. They thought that good enough was what God required. God is not a minimalist. He's a maximum type of God. He does all things well. Amen. He does all things for His glory. He does all things with no holding back. Secondly, they provoked the people to try and deceive God. Verse 14 says, but cursed be the what? The deceiver. Here's the problem. And here's the issue for us. People are watching. People are watching back then. So here you are, you're just the normal Israelite. You're trying to do what God's word says. And you see someone that you respect and you look up to, and they come to do a sacrifice and they bring not the best. They violate God's rules for sacrifice. They bring the maimed and the blind and the ones that had fault. And you're sitting there and you're trying to do your best for God. And you say, well, wait a second. And here's the thing. And we see it in churches all the time. We see it at work all the time. If He can do it,
yeah, come on.
I can do it too. And if it's good enough for Him, it's good enough for me. And if He gets away with it, I'll try the same thing too. See, we impact others positively or negatively. What we need to do is we need to do what God's Word says. And we need to understand that they were setting a bad example for the people. Paul says, mark them as examples. Be ye followers of me, as I'm a follower of who? Christ. If people's relationship with God, everybody's in the church looked like yours, where would we be? It's good enough for them. It's good enough for them. They promised God their best. And you know, words are cheap. And we say, God, I love you with all my heart. God, come into my heart. God, help me do all these things. And then when we get another chance to turn our back on God, we do. And they promised God their best, but they gave God less than their best. Remember the parable of the two sons? One says, go out and work in my... Father said, go out and work in my field. And one said, I go, and he didn't do it. And the other one said, I'm not going. But then he changed his heart, and he went into the field. And Christ said, it says, which one of those two did the will of the Father? The one that repented and went to work in the field. God's calling us to work in the field. We hear all these messages. We were encouraged today by Brother Lou's message. He says, we need to go. That's what we're supposed to do. I was talking yesterday to someone about witnessing. And the answer that they gave inside the family was, well, you're gifted for that and I'm not. Wait a second. It's not a gift.
Right.
It's command. We're all supposed to go do this. And if we want to see a revival break out, we all need to get involved. We just don't need to say, I'm going to do this, and then don't do it. We need to do it. We need to say we're going to do it, and then follow it up with actions. See, the sad part about it was, it says they forgot that he's a great king worthy of our best. He says, but cursed be that the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and valeth. He says, I'm going to do it. And sacrifice to the Lord a corrupt thing. God deserves our best in everything we have. We don't get to pick and choose. We just find the best and give it to God. Others are watching. Which one of us are going to be the first to step out and say, I'm going to give my best to God? Which one of us is saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? That's what we need to do. Are we giving God our best? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask and just encourage us, Lord. Lord, you say in your word that if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards you. And Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, that you just search our hearts. And that you renew a right spirit in us. That you restore the joy of our salvation. That you help us, Lord, to look at everything afresh. Understanding the magnificence of you. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to worship you and to serve you with all of our being. Help us, Lord, to be surrendered to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to give you our best. Father, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.